Welcome to episode 91, a cavalcade of clips and work crews. It is a collection of Norm's show hours from June 16th and June 25th of 1995. Producers are Hope Shower, Mike Epstein, and someone named Ed St. Clair, not to be confused with Eddie LeClaire, I guess. A lot of the calls heard here are in progress, a bit choppy, cut short, and unnamed, but, as always, just so darn entertaining. It all begins with Louie talking about how radio was changing, and not for the better, I might add. We hear from Chauncey and eating rubber chicken in Canada. We have a caller who entertains with his wife at the Boathouse in Hyannis, the Brandy Barrel in Lynn, and Natalie's in Danvers. We get a quick hit from a guest on at 4 a.m. from across the pond. He wrote a book on Lorenz Hart from Rodgers and Hart. And then we get some random musical interlude. We now move to a broadcast from WCCM in Lawrence, Mass. Well, that's what it is, with former WBZ producer Sid Whitaker doing the news. The host was Bruce Arnold, and what I believe to be his producer, Eric. There's some behind-the-scenes talk about a countdown to weather. Then a scandal erupted to my ears. They play something called the birthday game. Eric, Sid, and a caller take guesses on a couple of celebrity birthdays to be entered to win a gift certificate to the Pasta Shack. We shall return to this later. Next up is Paul Drake doing traffic for Boston's business station WBNW. That guy sounds familiar. Jiffy Lube was the sponsor. Then some traffic with Paul Jack Hart for WBZ. AAA was sponsoring that one with some summer safe driving. There are lots of Norm show opens throughout this episode. Norm teases an upcoming guest, Phil Kaufman, who was the road manager for the Rolling Stones, Etta James, Joe Cocker, Vince Gill, and many more. But do we hear the interview? No. And back to Jack Hart for some more traffic, this time sponsored by Fortune Magazine. Let's now jump to Norm and Jack talking. I had clipped out an article on the zipper lane and the wacky machine that moves the little barriers on the Southeast Expressway. You know, those hinged blocks that swing to the left and then swing to the right and then do-si-do. Norm was fascinated by the whole thing. They have cameras monitoring it all. And this leads to a discussion on all sorts of cable channels dedicated to all sorts of camera feeds. Norm has a particularly good idea that you'll have to wait to hear. There's even a mention of the long-lost Store 24. They may have something, since Norm would have never believed there would be a channel totally dedicated to weather, the Weather Channel. Yet, here we are! Norm tells us of another upcoming guest, Tom Hamill, editor of Collecting Toys magazine. And no interview. Another Jack traffic report sponsored by Bally's Holiday Fitness Center. Well, I'm sorry, but now known as Bally Total Fitness. Let's take some more calls. Jim from the Burlington, Vermont area. The next caller is a musician and soloist playing a variety of string instruments. He does comedy and offbeat stuff. He plays a regular gig in Boston and on a night when Norm's not on, so Norm could go. The caller says, you know, he won't recognize Norm by sight, so that means he is going to have to do his best work all the time just in case he shows up. And during this call, we also hear some wisdom from Norm's grandfather. Guess who's back on traffic? It's Jack, sponsored by AAA again. The next caller is complimenting Norm. We get one from Whereabouts Unknown, talking about shooting pigeons in the park from 6 p.m. to dusk. We take a moment to understand how to use clothes on the clothesline to find the wind direction. Thankfully, this was very brief. Next caller, Chris, talking about old-time radios, the Antique Radio Association, and the New England Antique Radio Club. He hosts a program called Let's Talk Showbiz on WOMR down on the Cape in Provincetown. There's a very quick call from Foster. Foster Brooks? Next up is Frank, and he continues the old radio talk of tubes and testers. Then our old friend Glenn from Brighton is on the line. His friend Eleanor in Quincy is afraid of balconies. Glenn has a foolproof solution you'll want to hear and maybe even try. There's also some discussion of the Shadow, Kato, not to be confused with Kato Kaelin, and Margot Lane. Hillary from Bucks County, Pennsylvania is on with us, and her call moseys on over to Side B. She had recently played the dumb birthday game and hopes she didn't offend. Norm lets her know that if you can't say something racy between 3 and 4 a.m., what's the point of anything? Both Jack Hart and Paul Drake are back with Traffic Pandemonium. And now, we return to the scandalous WCCM with Bruce Arnold, Eric, Sid Whitaker, and a caller, Chris, playing the birthday game. I mean, what the hey here? Norm flaps papers in our ears, not once, but twice. We hear from a very familiar voiced caller, and she's talking about her trip to the Southwest with her husband, Bill, a call that's full of enchanting details. Norm keeps us up to date with his calendar and some upcoming MC appearances he'll be making. We get a call from Bones, and he's talking about our old-time radio gigs we used to do and MC stuff that Norm had scheduled. The Harry Jones Memorial Concert at the Portsmouth, New Hampshire Music Hall. Joe Williams is going to be there along with the Seacoast Big Band. Then we hear from our dear friend Joan from Tewksbury. She gives an unforgettable report on that WCCM stuff in their mini version of the Dumb Birthday Game. She also talks about her big plans for the weekend. Norm gives us a weather forecast with a riveting live look out the window. And like a bad penny, WCCM returns on the tape, this time with the Golden Age radio promo. Now it's Norm with the guest he talked about, and the interview is actually here. Dick Syatt talks dating, and Norm reveals what he's looking for and offers up quite the observation. Back to some more calls. This time we hear from Neil, who works for an FM station in town. A secret to working in radio is let out of the bag. Our next caller was 11 years old when he knew what he wanted to do with his life, and it's a very interesting occupation that generates more calls. We move on with a call asking about Steve Martorano. Now listen, I always enjoyed working with him when he was on WBZ. He also tells us a funny story and defines a job title for us. And we close with Peg, who worked for WBZ from 1952 to 1954 on the 4 to 11 p.m. shift, manning the switchboard. She runs down a list of some great broadcasters from back then, too. I hope I've whet your appetites because episode 91, A Cavalcade of Clips and Work Crews, is being served up now.
On WCOP, at the old WCOP, that's 1150.
Well, you got a better grip on things than I do, Louis. I'm in the business, and they change things so quickly, I lose track of all this stuff.
Yes.
But you're right.
That's right. And also, WEEI, the old WEEI is Bloomberg Radio.
I know, which, BNB now.
That's right, which has changed. Gee, radio has really changed quite a bit.
I know. As long as you and I don't ever change, Louis, at least we get some stability in this world.
That's right. Oh, it's so nice to hear you, Norm, because I enjoy your tables. And there was a big string orchestra there playing music. This was at lunchtime in the afternoon. And we ordered our food, and it was 4 or 5 people to serve you at each table. So 4 or 5 people, attendants, you see. This was a real fancy place. And to our last and back, we got rubber chicken. It was literally like rubber chicken. Couldn't eat it.
Yeah. Not but, too great.
But it was an interesting experience. But I love Canada, and I haven't been there in a long time, but we made many trips in various parts of Canada, and you're kind to listen to my little long story this evening.
It's an interesting story, and I'm glad you told it to us, John, sir.
And thank you, sir.
3 weeks?
Yeah, down in Tuesday to the boathouse, and the boathouse in Hyannis on Sundays. And locally, I've been at the Brandy Barrel on Thursday nights in Lynn, but pretty much I'm going to be doing you know, just some odds and end gigs for now. Okay. You know, for the next couple of months.
Is there enough work to keep you and your wife going?
Yeah. It's going pretty well.
Oh, that's
it's
good.
Going pretty
that's
well. And we'll be at Natalie's again, I think, probably sometime in August.
Okay. Let me know when, and we can mention that, because you're fun to hear, and I'd like to pass that along.
Right. Great.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you calling.
Nice to talk to you.
How close are you to North Andover?
Well, let's see. I'm just headed around. I'm around the Plymouth area now.
Oh, so you still got a ride home
yet?
Yeah,
I've got a ways to go. I got my cup of coffee, and I'm all set.
Okay, drive carefully.
And I'll be listening to
your book on Lorenz Hart. And now I got to get the other one. You did one on Rodgers and Hammerstein called The Sound of Their Music. When was that? When did that come out?
Oh, that's getting on 15 years ago now, Don.
Okay, so here you are with the new one on Lorenz Hart, which just came out during this past year. Are you an American?
No, I'm very British.
Oh, I can hear the accent now. I didn't hear that at the beginning. Anyway, the book is fascinating because it not only deals with Lorenz Hart and, of course, his partner Richard Rodgers, who turned out so many lovely things for so long, but it deals with the whole musical comedy scene through the 20s and the 30s and the advent of motion pictures, which kind of changed the whole picture. It deals with a romantic, I don't know whether romantic is quite the word for that, but during a period when Broadway was really Broadway with tons of theaters and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Now, as an Englishman, why have you been dealing with American composers so much?
Well, apart from the fact that they're the best, you mean. It all started way on back, Don. There was a movie. You may remember it. It was called Words and Music.
I certainly do. Incidentally, I hate to be a pest, but my name is Norm, N-O-R-M.
I beg your pardon.
No, that's okay, because
okay, fine.
We've never met, and our diction here is not always the greatest.
Well, no, we're a long way apart, actually. It's not very normal for people to be speaking you at 4 a.m., me at 9 a.m. English time across a 3,000-mile piece of water.
I know. That's what the great kick of this is.
Right. So let's go back. Words and Music, 1955, something like that?
I think that's correct, yes.
54, 55. Well, in those days, England was a very sad place because we were in the aftermath of World War II. We still had the aftermath of rationing and the gray times of wartime.
Right? Yeah.
Let Eric do the thing. Do your closing now, Gabe.
Oh, sure. Thanks. Yeah. This news brought to you by Bishop's Restaurant.
Sorry.
That's all right. For the Fives and American Arabic Foods, Bishop's at 99 Hampshire Street in Lawrence.
Nice. Yes.
I'm Sid Whitaker, WCCM News.
Yes.
And now back to the Bruce Arnold Show.
Yes.
On Radio 800 WCCM.
It's only Monday, right, Sid?
That's right, Bruce.
My goodness. Do the countdown. You know, friends, this is an inside story. I can tell the story. When we get the weather forecast from different people who do it for us, right? Do the countdown. I want you to do the countdown. Hold your thought.
Right? Okay.
Do the countdown. Well, Jackie calls now. Jackie, what's her last name?
Jackie Murphy, right. Yeah. Filling in for Mike Leone.
Okay, now do the countdown that Jackie would do for us. Go ahead.
All right, well, get the preface it by saying a normal countdown. Yeah. Someone's giving you the weather, okay, Sid, we're going to give you the weather in 3, 2, 1. Boom, give you the weather.
Hey, but after the one, you beat to yourself.
You beat to yourself. Give yourself a beat.
You go, 3, 2, 1, boom. You know what I mean?
Yes, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning, Sid, blah, blah, blah. Well, Jackie calls.
What is she doing?
She says, okay, Sid, coming down in 3, 2, 1.
I heard it the other day, and I think you're kidding me. 3, 2, 1. All right, we're at 6878. We love you, Jackie. 6878005 is our phone number. You want to play the birthday game? Come on, at the end of the week, we pull one person's name out of the four, and that person wins a gift certificate to the Positive
Show.
Right, this morning, guys, I know you guys were busy. A little after 7 was, you talk about dedicated. Vera Proctor celebrated her birthday today, and also we played her favorite record this morning. So we have to say happy birthday again to Vera. Hello?
Happy birthday, Vera.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Speak to me. What is your name?
Good morning, Bruce. And who's with you?
Oh, we have Eric to my left.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
And right in front of me, there's Sid.
Hi, Sid.
Hi.
And who is this?
Lucille in Methuen.
Oh, Lucille. How could I forget
Bruce,
you, Lucille?
You didn't know me.
I'm sorry. Oh, my left ear is gone and my right ear, forget it, you know? We have two birth dates, okay?
Okay, very good.
Now, these people were born not on this particular day, during the month of June. You got it?
Yes.
Now, you ready?
Yes.
How you been, anyway?
Very well. How have you been?
Just fine. Paul McCartney celebrated my birthday during this month of June. How old was Paul McCartney?
That's easy.
Oh, good one.
He's the same age as me.
Really?
Really.
No kidding.
He's 53.
Is that, you're sure, huh? She seems pretty sure. I don't know, Eric. What do you think?
I'm not going to go against her. I'll say 53.
And over to you.
He can't say 53 if I said 53.
Oh, he can say anything he wants.
Tell him the rules of the game, Bruce.
I'll say...
That's not
137.
Okay, that's more like
okay.
It.
Okay,
right,
I say 53, you say something else.
Okay.
Well, Eric, you could say 106 divided by 2. How's that?
Very good.
Okay.
What do you think, Sid?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say 51.
Well, guess what?
What?
I didn't know you were that old. I got you, didn't I? Yeah. 53 is correct. I thought you were 27, Lucille.
Well, some people think I act like 16,
not.
But that's okay.
Lionel Richie was born during this month of June.
Lionel Richie. Now, yeah. What were some of his songs?
Three Times a Lady.
Yeah, one.
Hey, all right.
Truly. Twice. Truly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Some of those are some of the classics.
Yeah.
Brick House.
Brick House?
Yeah, with the Commodores.
That was a biggie.
She's a brick house.
What do you think, Lucille?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to hang on
right
now.
I'm sorry.
You
don't
care.
I'll say he has to be 45.
45, Sydney?
Say 47.
And over to you, Eric.
48.
He's 46. Do the countdown for Lucille one more time.
Three, two, one.
Lucille, you'll do it for us next time. Listen, I hope you win at the end of the week.
Thank you.
Eric will get all the particulars from you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, hold on now.
Okay.
All right, 53, huh? I didn't know that. My goodness. Hold on. That's 687-8005. Sid, come back at 10. Help us out, will you?
Will do.
It's only Monday. I keep on saying that, but it seems like it's Friday already, right, Eric?
Let's pretend it's Friday.
You got it, dude.
Okay, it's to make the. It's Friday already, the 26th. Okay, do the phone thing, will you?
Okay.
Oh, you get over there. All right, but first.
On Boston area roadways, the expressway northbound and southbound continues to be plagued by work crews. Between the East Milton Square area and the gas tank in Dorchester, we've got work crews getting on and off the central artery northbound and southbound and around the Callahan Tunnel on and off ramps. We've got work crews Route 24 northbound and southbound, Randolph to Stoughton. Drive with care. I'm Paul Drake, Boston's business station, WBNW.
When your car needs an oil change, bring it to Jiffy Lube. Convenient, affordable, professional. If it doesn't say Jiffy Lube, it just isn't Jiffy Lube.
Deal with work crews in the area traveling northbound and southbound Route 93, the expressway between East Milton Square and the Columbia Road area. We've got ongoing construction causing delays. We've got work crews in the Central Artery northbound and southbound and around the Callahan on and off ramps. And the Sumner Tunnel is shut down till 5:30. Traveling to the south of the city, we've got work crews Route 24 northbound and southbound in the Randolph-Stoughton stretch. I'm Paul Jackhart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network.
Think before you drink and designate a driver, because no one has a license to drink and drive. This message sponsored by AAA for safer summer driving.
Hey, here's your neighbor. He's my kind of man. I listen to no Nathan every time I can on WBZ in Boston, the Norm Nathan Show.
That not exactly the Norm Nathan Show. If I were to be totally honest with you, I would tell you that this is really the Bob Raleigh Show. But Bob is on vacation this week, and so it's nice to be sitting in for him right throughout the end of this week. what a stupid way to bring a program on. I've got a fascinating man I want to introduce you to in just a minute named Phil Kaufman. At least his book is fascinating, and I would assume he's just as fascinating as his book. He's been a road manager for a number of groups, including the Rolling Stones and Etta James and Joe Cocker and Vince Gill, all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Let me check a couple of things with you.
We are dealing right now with an accident, Route 3 heading southbound by Route 40 in the Chelmsford area, a rollover situation, just some minor injury, should be cleared up shortly. We're also dealing with an accident on the expressway heading northbound just by Columbia Road, getting word of some minor injury involved in that as well. Watch out. We have work crews on the expressway, northbound and southbound, East Milton Square to Morrissey Boulevard. We've got work crews in the Central Artery, northbound and southbound, right around the Callahan on and off. We've got work crews inside the Sumner Tunnel. That's shut down till 5:30. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. Information technology is hot, and it's changing the way we live and work more profoundly than we can imagine. Find out how in Fortune Magazine's Information Technology Guide. On sale now.
Just makes me glow each weekend night. So debonair, he shines so bright. Here on BZ 103, oh please don't turn that dial. He makes me smile. Your name is shown.
Of course, it's I just love hearing Linda Chase, but it isn't the Norm Nathan Show. It is the Bob Rawley Show. Thank you. Mike Epstein is our producer.
Or just add a couple of things.
It depends on the people who are listening and just how important I am in their life.
You are terribly important, probably in nobody's life, but maybe just in mine at this moment. No, Tony had clipped out of the, I guess this was in the Herald the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we were talking about those, the rush hour traffic along the Southeast Expressway with those odd-looking concrete barriers.
Sure.
That have been appearing. And
the high-occupancy vehicle lane thing?
Oh, that's what that HOV is.
Yeah.
High occupancy vehicle lane. Now, the story had also had a picture, and we saw it the other day. We went down to Brockton, so we hit that road.
Mm-hmm.
And it has this vehicle. I guess it's an HOV vehicle. I guess what else do they call it? But explain that anyway. You can do that better than I can.
High occupancy vehicle, we used to call it the carpool lane.
Are you getting a big message there?
No.
But may explain what they do, these little small concrete barriers, and they'll move them twice a day?
What they'll do is in the morning time, I believe around 5 o'clock in the morning, they'll have a little crew go out, and it'll take about an hour to shift to create a fourth lane for the expressway northbound from the split down in Braintree up to, I think up about the Columbia Road area. And they'll just sort of, these things are all set on, if you look in between them, you can see, hopefully you'll be the passenger if you're trying to see this. You can see like it's just like a little toggle, a little hinge in between each of these blocks, and that's so that the whole thing can swing to the left or swing to the right or
widen the highway depending on whether it's the time for the most traffic to be heading south or most traffic to be heading north. Widen whichever side that the traffic is greater.
Yeah. And then at like 3 in the, and then I believe it'll be an express lane pretty much. So like if you get into that lane, you know, it won't be the kind of thing where you're like coming to my house, you know. You'll have to pretty much go all the way downtown if you take that lane. But hopefully it'll save a little bit of time. And then in the afternoon, I think around 2:30, 3 o'clock, they'll start shifting the thing over so that it opens up an extra lane on the southbound side.
Yeah, there's a picture of this vehicle. It's somebody, obviously, or a group of people sat down and tried to figure out the best way to move these small, odd-looking concrete barriers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine how. I didn't see the picture that you're talking about, and I wish I had.
But have you seen the vehicle itself?
No, I have not.
Yeah, because I guess maybe they're practicing with them down there. I think we saw one of these things, but they made a vehicle so that, you know, the workers don't have to just lift them up or push them or something. They just do it with this huge vehicle.
Well, that's what I was picturing, is they were going to, you know, go around to circuses all over the world and hire the strong man. And, you know, he's going to go out, oh, he's going to move the thing, and he's going to lift it to the left, you know. Big beard, you know, and big arms, and he could hurt you and stuff.
That's right. We take out hernia insurance, as a matter of fact, and you're covered.
You get out the way of move the whole car.
It says the safer 1990s version, because apparently somebody was killed back in 71 when they were doing a little bit of this kind of thing. But because this is much bigger scale now.
Oh, sure.
So the safer 1990s version relies on a high-tech monster truck to move connected barriers, instead of using highway workers to set up pylons manually. I mean, you're talking about a stretch of road. How many miles? You have any idea?
Let me see. The entire expressway, I think, runs, is it 6 or is it 8 miles? For some reason or another, I think it's 8 miles. So this will run probably about two-thirds of that length. So let me see. That would be about 5 or 6 miles.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. It says the Boston plan will set up rush hour high occupancy vehicle lanes along a 6-mile stretch of the Southeast Expressway between the Furnacebrook Parkway and Freeport Street near the Boston gas tanks. Mm-hmm. Tow trucks will be ready 1/3 of the distance from either end of the lane to clear out any broken down vehicles, and the lane will be temporarily closed if there are brakes. They got it all figured out. Laura Brown, incidentally, wrote this. I have a feeling about people who write stories who never get credited for writing them. But it's Laura Brown who had this in the Herald a few days ago.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how they. Well, I guess if a car breaks down, let's say at the Granite Ave exit, then the cars ahead of them can move forward, and the tow truck can sort of back down to get them. But I still kind of, you know, without airlifting the car out, I still think it's going to be kind of a trick.
Just trying to get through, as we were talking the other day about the increased traffic round the clock, it seems.
Yeah.
Just handling the traffic the way it is, even without moving concrete barriers and stuff.
It's tough.
It's really tough. I don't mean to talk shop to you, because this is your business.
Mm-hmm. But when you say it's tough, it's tough.
Oh, it is tough. Oh, sure. And they will have cameras also. They will include pole-mounted cameras along the route monitored at a control center to give officials an accurate picture of the traffic situation, as though they could do something about it. That's a terrible situation. What do we do? I don't know. Let's just keep looking at the picture.
And kind of sort of after the second or third day, you know, you can kind of, well, you know, it's 7:15. Let's see, the traffic's going to be backed up. Let's take a look at the camera. Oh, I was right. The camera traffic is backed up.
Maybe they could sell this to one of the cable channels, you know, that they're looking for, you know, talking about 8 billion cable channels, and they won't have enough programming. This is apparently supposed to go into effect sometime at the end of the year, around the time that they say the new Third Harbor Tunnel is scheduled to open.
Well, they are moving at, I mean, you know, for an operation of this magnitude, they are moving at a fair clip. I mean, they pretty much had to resurface the road to do it, so these things could move. That's pretty much done, and pretty much most of this long, essentially a gate, is installed. It's up as far as. I think it's up as far as like Neponset at this point from Braintree. That's a pretty good stretch of land.
Okay, so there you have another channel then. As we kind of tune in,
yep,
to the traffic cameras.
Yeah,
I had another idea for cable.
Oh, sure.
They're looking for program ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know those cameras that are set up in department stores and places to catch shoplifters?
Sure.
They could be broadcast.
Sure, Liftovision.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And I could make a contest out of it. You at home could be watching these cameras moving around.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as you see somebody shoplifting, you call. Whoever calls first wins maybe 10% of the stolen merchandise. Yeah. And so they could make it a contest that way. And they would have people monitoring all over the place. Wouldn't that be something? Country. Feed it right. Well, all over the area, because they're going to cover a number of stores.
Sure.
But there you are sitting at home, and you're helping them monitor this and looking out for shoplifters.
Well, you know, my prediction is that, you know, with 500 channels that they're predicting for once they come up with the glass phone, or the fiber optic lines, that, you know, you might just want to do it for entertainment. People want to sit down, oh, let's take a look and see what Filene's is doing. Let's take a look and see how Filene's is doing. You know, and, oh, look, there's more people over there. They must be having a better sale. Let's see if there's anything slow going on over there. Look at that. There's a sales lady and she's scratching her neck.
That's right. You could set them up in malls. You know, people seem to like to walk up and down malls and stuff. Perhaps they could have some attractive women or attractive men walking by just to kind of spice the thing up a little bit.
Well, you know, all these actors and models and things like this who only get calls like, you know, a couple of times a year, it'll be a boon. You know, stores will want to have good-looking people look like they're shopping in their stores, so they'll have all these handsome people and good-looking ladies, and they'll just be strolling around in these fancy clothes. And
look at that one. Has he got legs or not? Their legs go right up to the sheet counter, I tell you. Oh, yeah, it's something. And, of course, we were talking about the lottery number you know, channels also.
Sure, you can have one like aimed right at the store 24 counter. Look at that. He's buying another ticket. Imagine he must have won a couple of bucks.
And then superimposing it, the latest numbers that come in from throughout the country.
Sure, like on the Wichimoku, what do they call it? The Keno thing. Like instead of having, you can intersperse it. Instead of having like all the balls pop up, like all the numbers pop up in little balls, switch it and every once in a while have like a little head of the person who just won in each one of the things.
You know something?
Everybody will be a star.
I think we're onto something really big here.
Uh-huh.
Because I've often said nobody would have, a few years ago, believed there would be one television channel devoted exclusively to weather. And since we've kind of crossed over the pant, now we're over the edge. Anything can happen.
Sure, as long as we have, you know, traffic services. For years it was just weather that you got on the morning radio show or the afternoon news. But now we've got traffic as well, so it would be a natural to have like a national traffic station. Traffic on the Chicago Loop right now, backed up right to the Sears Tower. And if you're traveling right now through the Texas area, we do have some heavy delays right through there. And a heavy front is moving through Texas right now, causing a delay by the Alamo.
You know something?
Yes.
I'm going to work on this fella.
Hey, let's get into the cable industry now.
Okay. Hey, talk to you soon, big guy.
Okay.
Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. Let's take some phone calls.
Next program,
we'll talk with Tom Hamill, who's the editor of Collecting Toys magazine. He will discuss the beauty, the nostalgia, the thrill that comes with collecting toys. It's an interesting magazine. And we're all kind of kids at heart anyway. So you talk about toys, and that's always fun. Let's see, we'll take a call.
Expressway northbound and southbound between the East Milton Square area and the gas tank in Dorchester. It's going to slow things just a bit. They'll be there until a little after 5 this morning. Central Artery northbound and southbound. We're still dealing with work crews in around the Callahan Tunnel on and off ramps. Work crews in the Sumner Tunnel have that shut down till 5:30. An earlier accident northbound on the expressway by Columbia Road pretty much cleared out of the way. Also working to clear an accident southbound on Route 3 in the Chelmsford area by Route 40. To the south of the city, Route 128 northbound and southbound, we've got work crews between Randolph and Stoughton. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. Good news! Bally's Holiday Fitness Center is now Bally Total Fitness, America's newest and largest health club organization. It's the only club dedicated to helping you turn on your life.
Sitting up on Lake Champlain.
Oh, that is beautiful country up there. You up around Burlington, you mean that area?
Yeah, Burlington, St. Albans area. That's, you know,
right on Lake Champlain.
Yeah.
And, oh, that is about the prettiest part of the world.
Oh, it is. It's very nice. And, you know, you pay the price to live up here. The taxes are very high. The cost of living is very high.
Yeah.
It's a lot of business up here, and there's a lot of people in this area, but it's just very costly to survive.
Yeah, I was just looking through that story to see where in Vermont he was. Oh, Montpelier. He was in Montpelier, which is a little further southeast from where you are.
Right. I just came through. That's the south central part of the state, the capital.
Yeah. and he moved to Portsmouth. Well, I love Portsmouth, too. I think the Portsmouth, New Hampshire area, that whole seacoast area is really quite nice.
Yeah, right now that area is dying for industry with the air base closing up. And
well, Pease Air Force Base did, but the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard remains open, at least for the time being.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't close it in this last sweep. So
right.
If they did that, boy, what a terrible blow to the economy of that area that would have been.
Yeah, you know, that's fucking shit. But this state is not all that business friendly. You know, the economic development and the labor development is just not there. They don't concentrate a lot of money on training and development of help and things along those lines. But it's, you know, there's some ways where the state needs to grow, and there are other ways where the state shouldn't.
Yeah, what kind of business are you in, Jim?
I have my own business. I distribute machinery and throughout New England.
Okay, are you from? I have a feeling you're not a native of Vermont, or are you?
No. I spend most of my time down in the Manchester, New Hampshire area.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I've been up here about 8 years, and you know, I recently have gone into business full time, but my business takes me down that way because there's just not enough business up here to keep me going full time and up here.
Well, would you consider moving your whole business to New Hampshire?
No, I don't. No, I live there. That state has its own set of problems, and it's overcrowded. And I don't, because of the nature of my business, I rely a lot on the Canadian economy, and I rely a lot on the agricultural industry of this area.
Mm.
And so if that wouldn't make any sense, I'll be moved down there. I have some business down that way, but it's mostly in the residential and consumer sector more than the agricultural and industry sector. But it's the type of thing where my business, I have to be right where I am in order to function. But I would not move for the business anyways.
No, because, that whole area around Burlington, Vermont is such a lovely area.
Yeah, no, it is very, very scenic. I'm very fortunate to live where I am and to have what I have, but it's very difficult. Like I said, the cost of living is extremely high. Property taxes are outrageous. The wages are fairly low in comparison to the cost of living.
Oh, yeah. Property taxes in New Hampshire are no picnic either. They're really horrendous.
No, when I left there, my taxes in my house were about $3,000 a year, and that was back in 1988. And up here, taxes are the same, but I have a lot more of a house and, you know, more property.
Yes.
But that's now. You know, I can imagine that the taxes have probably doubled down there.
Okay, I appreciate your comment. We have no right to bore the audience, you know? And so we have some people who call who do.
And had he been one of those?
Yes, if it's the one I'm thinking of, he was. And very often they have two or three lines to say, and it's the same thing over and over again. And I don't expect people to come on and do an analysis of the early works of Shakespeare and who wrote his books and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of light, fluffy talk, and we don't get too deep into too many things.
I thought you were just a model of restraint and tact. Well, even more than tact with that guy. Given the two points I made, you were totally in the clear regarding his supposed accusation.
I love when you're coming to my defense, and I really appreciate that a whole lot.
Now, so I guess, you know what, I think I've talked so long, we're not going to have time for my analysis of the early works of Shakespeare after all.
My grandfather, many, many years ago, used to say, never argue with an idiot. Says, because chances are he's not going to know whether you won or not, and the chance that you're not going to beat him. And even if you do happen to win the argument, I mean, what have you won, really? You know, an argument over an idiot. Maybe in a sense, I'm calling the guy you're talking about that. I'm sort of implying that he is. So you just don't make an issue about it. Just back away. There's no point in it. Unless there's a great, you know, some kind of great issue involved that really preys on your conscience that you just can't back away from it.
You're right. And, you know, Norm, given the wide disparities of taste, kinds of preference in the world, for the very reasons that we fans really like you, there are people who are not going to like you for the same reasons.
No, that's true.
You just have to be true to yourself, I guess.
Hey,
you know?
You're okay, kid. What kind of stuff do you do? You a student? Are you out in the work world?
I'm in the communications, too. I'm an entertainer.
Oh, what kind of entertaining do you do? Jess Kane, who was a very talented guy, did the morning show. And very often, I think, in this kind of business, and you as an entertainer, I'm sure, particularly when you were starting out, it bothers you when somebody doesn't like you. And then after a while, you realize everybody is not going to like you. You're going to make enemies, so at least make them on your own terms. So you've got really a great adult attitude.
It just sounds like the only way you'll prevent people from disliking you is by being so bland.
That's right.
There's not even any point in doing your work anyway. Yeah. You know?
Are you a comic or a singer or what?
I'm a musician, but I have a strong comedic element to the work I do.
Do you have a musical group, and then you kind of blossom out of it and do funny stuff?
No, I'm a soloist. I'm kind of I do.
You're a pianist then?
No. I play a variety of stringed instruments.
Really?
And a lot of offbeat type comedy, what I consider to be comedy. You know.
Now where do you do this?
Around the Boston area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it be possible one time for? Say for me to catch your act.
Tell you what, can I tell you? You know what, Norm?
You don't have to mention it on the air if you'd rather not.
Can I tell your producer off the air?
You can do that, or
you know what? I think you would really enjoy my act, but I'm not going to try to use your airwaves.
I'm asking you to do it. You haven't been pushed cello. You play all that, viola and stuff.
Fiddle, guitar, tin whistle, a variety of instruments, but from a kind of a comic perspective.
And you hired for private parties primarily, or do you do clubs or
I
what?
Do bars, I do concerts, festivals, private parties, whatever.
I love that. I do bars, private festivals, all that kind of stuff, private parties.
Freelancer.
All right, I'll turn you over to Mike Epstein, and he can jot down a couple of things.
As a matter of fact, Norm, I play a night regularly in Boston that is usually a night off of yours. So if you were ever in town and you wanted to come in, I wouldn't know you by sight, so I'll have to just do my best work all the time in case you're there. But I'll tell him if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great. So I've been listening to you for several years, and my style is something I really think you might enjoy.
It sounds great. And in the future, if you just send me a note with the listings.
Work crews, route northbound in the Waltham area. Watch out there. We've got work crews, route 24, northbound and southbound, Randolph to Stoughton. Traveling closer to downtown, work crews in the central artery are currently only southbound by the Callahan Tunnel. Work crews in the Sumner Tunnel have that structure shut down. Two-way traffic in the Callahan is your alternate route. And on the expressway, northbound and southbound, East Milton Square to the gas tanks, we've got work crews. Do remember that Atlantic Avenue is currently all traffic going in the northerly direction. Surface artery is all traffic going in a southerly direction. Later on today, work on the Bourne Bridge will commence. Delays are expected. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. If you drink, don't drive. Take a cab or choose a designated driver before you drink. No one has a license to drink and drive. This message sponsored by AAA.
Okay, the last hour here on the Bob Raleigh Show for today. I'm Norm Nathan, sitting in for Vacationing Bob. And our number 617 is the area code 254-1030. Be nice if I can chat with you for a little bit. Voice grin and the body of well-tempered steel and a plush but not overly ostentatious. So you can do my whole shtick now, Joe.
Yeah, listen. It's a great show. Keep it up. It's one of the best in Boston.
Oh, what a nice thing to say. What are you doing up at this time of the morning?
I'm working, believe it or not.
What kind of work do you do?
Building superintendent.
Oh, really?
Right.
In a public school?
No. In a law office in Boston.
Oh, it's nice of you to take time to call. I appreciate that, Joe.
Have a good night, Norm.
Yeah.
They got about 10 guys and let them shoot the pigeons in downtown.
Oh, that's kind of sad, though. I can understand how they may be an annoyance, but, I mean, guys are out there with rifles taking shots at pigeons?
Shooting up the town from 6 p.m. till dusk.
6 p.m. till dusk. Okay, so that'd be about 3-4 hours.
And
3 hours.
All I could imagine is something like that going on in Cambridge or Boston.
Oh, you'd wipe out half the population, probably.
I'm surprised they didn't there.
I wonder if there's not some other way to... And I do live in the country. And I was looking out and I was wondering, how can you, in the city, can you tell when it's windy if you're inside? You know, at home you can see the trees you know, the wind blowing through the trees. You just can sense it. And I saw a clothesline with the pajamas and stuff wiggling back and forth. I thought, oh, the smoke coming out of a chimney. They're not really exciting, pretty ways to tell what the difference is in weather and all when you're in the city.
And it has a little glow dial with a little stick, and you just turn, you look at the feet, you know, the numbers, and line it up.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's got tubes and everything.
Tubes, and it works, yeah.
Yeah,
one of the members of the Antique Radio Association restored it for me, including finishing off the cabinet.
Oh, really? So you can get tubes, then, for these old-time radios?
You can, yes. In fact, this man in Harwich who lives here, he's one of the members of that association you were talking about. Oh, yeah, he's got hundreds of them. And he used to repair them in New Jersey years ago, back in the 40s. And he's kept a lot of things himself and, you know, has gotten hold of a lot of the... They have the oddest-shaped tubes, but he has them all.
Isn't that interesting? Now, how does he get them? Somebody obviously still manufacturing these
things. Either that or some of them are original ones from the period that have just never been used, that have been warehoused or stored.
No,
he buys them in lots and then just keeps them.
Okay, so a lot of people, no, I would say tons of people, but quite a few write to me and call me and wanted to know, you know, how they can put their old radios back in shape or are interested in buying antique radios.
Yeah, you can still get them. And I think even some of the Eastern European countries have made some of the tubes, I know, for shortwave.
Yeah.
So they can be, you know, obtained.
You don't happen to have the name of the New England Antique Radio Club handy at the moment. You wouldn't have it in front of you at the moment.
I don't have it in front of me, but it's in New Hampshire. One of the members is down here in Harwich, and they put out a newsletter, and I know it's $10 a year.
I know it. I subscribe, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I've got the address at home. I just didn't know whether we
might
have
it.
Yeah,
I have
it, now.
But it's not right near the radio.
I know it. I'd have to do some digging up.
I'm still doing my Let's Talk Showbiz program on radio and television, and we have just completed our third season. We've done 58, since we've gone on television, we've done 58 shows. By next May, we're already planning our new season. We'll have 100 shows next May.
Son of a gun, you can go on reruns forever.
Oh, sure. We do 40 shows a year. We're like the old days of radio and TV. We don't do 22 weeks. We do 40.
Now, that's right. You do
live.
and these are mostly interview kind of things.
Well, yeah. Well, we profile like a famous celebrity, like, say, Dean Martin or Helen Hayes. We show a film clip of them in their prime. And we talk about them, and then we answer questions from the audience, you know, letters that people send in. And we've had a different co-host, you know, but we have guest co-hosts now, and I'm the only regular on it, along with my producer, Dave James.
Okay, but tell us the stations that you're on.
We're on WOMR. If you listen to us on radio, it's WOMR 91.9, Saturday nights from 10 to 10:30. And if you're in the cable system, you just consult your local cable company. We're on all the stations down here, and of course we're looking to expand to other cable outlets, and we cover everything: radio, old-time radio, TV, film, theater, popular music, mostly the stars of yesteryear, but we do talk about some of the contemporary showbiz as well.
Okay.
So we try to cover it all.
Hey, good luck to you. Nice to hear from you, Chris.
Okay, thanks, Norm.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Foster in Boston. Hi, good morning, Foster.
Good morning, Norm. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, I'm glad you called.
No good, unfortunately. I keep going through them as I need them, but I just got...
Now, where did you get all those tubes?
Basically, when people years ago were throwing out old equipment, I would go and scavenge it. I'd stop with my pickup and get out and yank all the tubes and throw them in a bag and take them home and keep throwing them in boxes.
Isn't that funny? You kind of sense the fact that one day they might be valuable.
Well, that I might use them. I don't think they'll ever be valuable.
No,
so many of them made. But
yeah, no, I don't mean in the sense of getting rich by selling them, but by the fact that these other people threw them away, figuring they'd never need them again. But you figure just the opposite.
Yeah, and a friend of mine who's a little older than you, he's about 74. He started collecting them for me too, and dropping them off at my house. And I just recently got a hold of a piece of equipment that was made in 57, a Hitchcock tube tester.
Yeah.
And it was stored in a basement, and it was kind of moldy, but I took it apart, and I cleaned it all out, and I replaced a couple of condensers, and I got it working, and now I can use it to test these tubes, you know, which ones are good or bad. It lights up the tube and it tests the filament voltage and all that.
Isn't that great?
But they're repairable. You can even replace, like, the condensers are made out of their cardboard, and they're rolled with a foil inside, and those deteriorate. You can replace those with modern condensers. There's a lot of parts, and there's, you know, like these places that restore the antique that have to have it exact is different. But if you just want to make the thing play, there is interchangeability.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
One other thing, I don't want to bore you too much with the technical aspects.
No, you're not boring at all, Frank.
The old radios and the antique cars. See, I'm the guy that was on the birthday game at the time. I told you I drive a 70 Lincoln Mark III.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
That I restored.
Yeah.
The older cars from the 40s and 50s had tube radios. And they just came out with now, a guy has patented transistors that are in a case that are in a tube patent so that you can just pull the tube and plug in a modern type transistor to convert these things.
Beautiful.
And he must be making good money on that at these car shows, because I was just reading about an article about it not too long ago on old cars.
Sounds great.
I thought that was a pretty good idea that he came out with, to make it so that it would plug in place of a tube.
Yeah, no, that's interesting stuff, because people wonder about that. If they get an old-time radio, will they be able to repair it? And
it's all hand-wired, too. You can really you can get in there with a soldering gun and take just about anything out. The newer stuff, you open it up, it's all printed circuit, and you really can't fix anything. And I think they don't want you to fix anything. The idea today is throw it away, so you'll have to buy another one.
Yeah, disposable stuff. Get rid of it. Yeah, that's too bad. That's interesting, though. I appreciate the information, Frank. I thank you very, very much for that.
As always, it's nice hearing. It's nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Frank.
It was Diane Sawyer. That's the one that interviewed Brudnoy.
Oh, okay.
On that ABC program.
Yeah, did you see the program?
No, I missed it. In fact, I was out. My friend Eleanor in Quincy was trying to call me to tell me it was on, because she knows I listened to him, but I was out. So
yeah.
I missed it. In fact, I'm going to solve her balcony problem. She's the one that's afraid of balconies.
I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah.
How do you solve that? She's afraid of heights, so I don't blame her. A little balcony, four stories up or something like that?
Yeah, it is.
I get nervous about little balconies like that, too.
Yeah, of course I don't. No, even when I had my sight, I didn't, unless I looked over or something. But, no, I'm going to bring wine, cheese, and crackers over there, and that'll hold her hand, and that'll solve the problem. That's not why I called. Someone was talking last night about the shadow.
Yes.
Did they say he had a guy named Cato? I thought Cato was...
No, he didn't know. Cato was with the Green Hornet.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
But yeah, no, I thought we made that clear, and maybe we didn't.
No, I didn't hear it.
We're talking about the shadow's constant companion was Margot Lanier. They described her as his constant companion. And then I asked who the constant companion was of that other show, of the Green Hornet, and it was Cato. And I mentioned the fact that Cato was his Japanese assistant until December 7th, 1941, when Cato suddenly became Filipino.
Oh.
So we did discuss both of those.
So that's a different Cato.
That's, I assume it's not the same Cato that's been prominent in the Simpson trial.
Yeah, no, I don't even care, but I'm like you. I'm so sick of that thing. Do you know when if Bob Cusack is going to come back again?
I'm sorry, coming back where?
Well, I mean, on a phone call to you. You talked to
No, him. I don't know. No, he calls every now and then, but I'm not sure when, you know, when he will call. Why do you ask that?
Well, I'd like to talk to him sometime if you ever take calls from him. I remember him as a little kid in Rhode Island on a rock station.
Yeah.
And then he came up here.
Yeah, no, I'm always pleased when he calls, but, you know, we have no schedule like that. He just, when he hears something he wants to talk about, or just gets the urge, or happens to be up late or something, like most people, he would call then, but I have no idea when that would be.
Yeah, and that's incredible about those, you know, those radio shows, about the bookstores now are starting to sell that. I know Bob Rowe has Mel Simons on. And I think Mel Simons has a thing, if you want a copy of a show and you pay him, he's listed in West Roxbury, and he'll do it.
Yeah.
He'll make you a copy. He's got, like, so But he's got an incredible collection, Mel Simons. He must have almost all.
I would guess so. I don't know. I would guess maybe so.
He's got thousands of hours.
Hmm.
But anyway, no, I just wanted to say hello and happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you very much, Glenn, and same to you, even though you're not a father.
You're right, I'm not. I don't think I could be, but...
Okay, well, I
don't have enough meat on my bones. I'm too liberal.
Okay, take care of yourself. I don't know what that means. I'm too liberal. I can't be a father. I don't know what that means. Anyway, the time is 4:31. We do have lots of open lines. Again, at 254-1030.
My mother passed away, and we live in the house that we grew up in.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Pennsylvania? You told me once before, and I've forgotten. I'm sorry.
In Bucks County.
Bucks County, Pennsylvania. That's where they have the big... They still have the big playhouse there?
I think they do. It's been quite a few years since I've been down there.
Even though you're in Bucks County, that would be a distance from where you're living.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be far, but it's been quite a long time since I've been there.
Do you get out and have fun at all, or do you just stay home and take care of your brother and the house?
Well...
Because I kind of feel like maybe you're confining yourself too much. Maybe you ought to just let down your hair and kick up your heels and have some fun.
Sounds like you have a lot of fun. I mean, well, you say what you do on the weekend.
Well, no, I don't live a wild life. I mean, in my stage of life, it's pretty quiet and conservative. But I do get out. I kind of have the feeling that maybe you don't get out nearly enough, or maybe not at all. Is that true?
He's a nice person.
He is, and he's also a young person. So between his youth and my decrepit old age...
You're not decrepit.
No, but I really am not. But I'm much older. And between the two, we sort of can compromise in the middle and try to get guests on that we hope would appeal to young people and older people and all that. He's got a good sense about that. So I'm pleased about that. And it's kind of fun, you know, just to sit around. Come close. I don't want everybody to hear this because they'll all want to do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's kind of fun to sit around and act really totally stupid all night and get paid for it. I mean, where else could you get a job like this? This is incredible. I've often said that I probably would be thrown out of here if the management, even though I worked here, I don't think they ever noticed. I sneak in the back during the dead of night, and like at 5 this morning in about 17 minutes, I'll be sneaking out the back door. They won't even know I've been here.
You're a very sweet man, Norm.
You're a sweet lady, Hillary. I always enjoy talking with you. I hope you'll keep calling me.
I will. And I like your dumb birthday game, so don't ever think about, you know, changing it or anything.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because most of the comments have been like that, you know, hang into it. And said, boy, that has run its course. What are you doing? Get rid of it. Jeez.
In fact, I played it this past Saturday, and it was Saturday morning, but I had a lot of fun. I said some pretty racy things.
I hope so.
Normally said.
I hope so.
I really shouldn't have. But
well,
I
no, I of course, you, I mean, if you shouldn't have, I would have said, hey, don't do that. But between 3 or 4 in the morning, if you can't say a few racist, I can't imagine you saying anything too horrible. But if you can't say a few racy things between 3 and 4 in the morning, what's the point of anything I say, eh?
That's right. True.
Anyway, I hope to talk to you again soon, and it's a pleasure to all.
Dealing with work crews in the Boston area and pandemonium. Coming out of the Logan Airport, East Boston area, the Sumner Tunnel is shut down. And once you get through the Callahan Tunnel on the downtown side, getting onto the expressway southbound, you can't. Detours are in place. Traffic is back into the Logan Airport area. Right now, southbound on the Central Artery, we've got work crews by the Callahan down ramp. That's shut down as well. Getting onto the expressway southbound, work crews in the Neyland Street on ramp. Northbound on the expressway, work crews at Furnace Brook Parkway, East Mill
Hamilton Square, Freeport Street, and Columbia Road. Outside of the city, we do have work crews on Route 128 northbound in the Dedham area. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network.
If you begin by East Milton Square, as you get up towards Freeport Street, you'll find work crews, and by Columbia Road, more work crews. Getting onto the expressway southbound from Neyland Street, we've got work crews. Inside the Sumner Tunnel, work crews have that structure shut down. Once you come out of the Callahan Tunnel, you'll find work crews hampering your ability to get to the Central Artery southbound.
And we've got work crews, 128 southbound in Lexington, 128 northbound in Dedham, more work crews. Traveling right now in the downtown area, Central Artery heading southbound by the Callahan Ramp, we've got work crews. Coming out of the Logan Airport area, you'll find the Sumner Tunnel is closed down. Two-way traffic in the Callahan Tunnel is your alternate route. Southbound, getting onto the expressway from Neyland Street, we've got a work crew. We've got work crews northbound on the expressway at East Milton Square, Freeport Street, and the Columbia Road area.
Chris, Meryl Streep. She's in that new movie with Clint Eastwood, isn't she?
Yes.
Bridges of something? Bridges
Madison
of... Thank you.
Yeah, that,
very
sure.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
You know your movies, don't you, Mr. Derry?
I've never seen it, though.
Well,
I've heard a lot about it.
That's true. How old is she today?
Oh, God, 48.
48. Over to you, Eric.
44.
And to you, Sid.
41.
She's 46.
Wow. Well,
okay. Hey. This gentleman is he went to Oxford, I believe, too. He's a singer.
Yeah.
He's an actor.
Called
Chris
me.
Christopherson.
Chris Christopherson,
yes.
59.
59, Sid.
56.
And to you, Eric.
55 years old.
5'8", 58 today.
Hey, all right.
You didn't do too bad, you know.
Mm.
What do you think, huh? You enjoying the summer so far? I know it's only been not even a full day yet, but you enjoying this time of the year, sir?
I am loving this week we're having right now. This is beautiful.
Going fishing?
I live on a lake, but no, I don't even go down the lake.
Lucky. He lives on a lake.
This Beaver Lake?
No, Big Island.
This guy's on vacation all the time,
I
right? Hold on the phone. Eric will get all the information. I hope we pull your name out tomorrow.
Me too. Thank you.
Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye now.
Say it again. See you later, Ken.
All right, so you notice I called you gentlemen. Right, gentlemen?
Thank you.
We'll thanks,
do it,
Bruce.
Do it again tomorrow morning, right?
Here's Norm Nathan. He's my kind of man. I listen to Norm Nathan every time I can on WBZ in Boston, the Norm Nathan Show.
Hello. I'm your date tonight. Same to you if you're going to be like that. And we'll be around. In fact, Ed LeClaire is your date also. He will be with us also through the night. So that's it's not LeClaire, by the way. It's St. Clair. So would you... Sheets. Ed St. Clair is our producer. We'll be around till about 5 o'clock in the morning. And the idea is of this program is... let me see if I can remember what the idea of it is. No. I kind of have a feeling there is no... idea or point to the whole thing.
It's weekend night.
Oh, yeah.
He's beyond compare and so debonair. He shines so bright.
Here on BZ 103. Oh, please. Don't turn that dial. He makes me smile. Norm Nathan Show. Norm Nathan Show. Norm Nathan Show. Thank you very much. Anyway, this is Norm Nathan, and we are here. We will be here through the night until, I don't know, when you get sick of the whole program, just let me know, and we'll just sign off right at that point, because I don't want to overstay my welcome. Thank you so much. A little later, we're going to be talking with David Stewart, who wrote a book called Heart and Soul. Soul is spelled S-O-L-E. It's not a love story. It's a story of David and his 1,600-mile walk. He actually walked from Wyoming, Gilledville, Wyoming, his home, to Nashville, Tennessee. Do you know why he walked that distance? Anybody, any of you kids here in the Tin Can Team want to know why he walked 1,600 miles in about 83 days through searing heat and bitter cold with his little doggy? Because he's a lunatic, that's why. No, actually, he wanted to get on the Grand Ole Opry. So this was he's a Western singer, country and Western singer. And he thought with all the publicity he would get, because he had a guy, you know, calling stations, he was doing interviews and all that kind of stuff. But which doesn't lessen the terror of that kind of a walk, 1,600 miles. Life as a roadie for some of the biggest names in music. He was a roadie for Rolling Stones, Joe Cocker, Frank Zappa, and all some kinds of wild adventures that he had. Spending 8 months in a Swedish prison among other things. And a man named Tom Hamill, who will be on with us the following night, Tuesday night, collecting toys, nostalgic memories of toys and stuff. Maybe you could, that'd be nice if you could join us for that and talk about some of the toys you remember growing up with. A whole lot of other people, including, I'm flapping pages in your ear again, but this is where this are. We have a ton of people coming up. Another person that we will have, not a person, but a panel, will be the music quiz, the Swell Music Quiz. We're going to do that Wednesday night into Thursday morning, and that's where you get a chance to compete with us. And I think what we will give away are really weird kind of certificates of awards, the award certificates printed on cheap paper with a lot of misspelled words, but it has your name on it, which we hope we won't misspell, but I think we've probably done that too. And maybe each winner will, I'll say definitely, each winner will receive one of the Beepers keychains. I think we'll send that out too, okay? But that's not till Wednesday night. The amount of mud and the
Adobe. Yeah,
but there's another name for it.
Oh,
Adobe sounds more Southwest and Spanish, but this, somebody will call me. Norm, you're so, can't think of it. But that's an interesting way that the build, and not only in the Southwest, but again in some parts of the Midwest that were treeless.
Sod houses.
Sod houses, that's the name.
Thank my husband.
Bill said that. Yeah, no, he's right. That's the word. I couldn't think of the name. Sod houses, that's right.
Isn't that
about the same kind of process that you're talking about?
I think so, but the adobes are like apartment buildings. They're like condominiums, which is fascinating.
Oh.
Multi-story.
Okay, so that's, they're much more elaborate than the old sod houses, which were just little log cabins almost.
Yeah, and only about 50 families actually live in the old Pueblo now on this reservation, because they're very strict about their rituals. And in the old Pueblo, there's no electricity and no running water. So most people live in modern homes on the reservation, but about 50 families still live the old way. So it was really, really interesting. And what's also fascinating, I found the whole Indian culture out there to be extremely interesting. You go to these either pueblos or reservations, and there's the church on one part, and then the kiwa, which is the Indian ceremonial place, right next to it practically. So it was really fascinating.
Now, what did you do, fly out there and rent a car or something like that?
Exactly. Mm. We flew to Phoenix, and we drove around, and we flew home from Albuquerque.
Yeah, now, did you come across, you must have gone across the Navajo Indian Territory also?
Oh, absolutely. When we came back from the Grand Canyon, we drove through Navajo lands.
Yeah, that's interesting. I remember driving through there, and we stopped to take pictures, and they were not happy about that.
No, they don't like that. As a matter of fact, what you have to do is you actually have to register your camera. You pay a small fee, usually $5 or $10, and you can then take pictures of certain areas of the lands, not the religious areas, not the kiwa, and not the graveyard. And if you want to take pictures of individuals, you must ask them previously.
Oh, yeah.
They're very strict about that.
Yeah, we were taking pictures of the school buses, kids getting off school buses, and it seemed to provoke all kinds of antagonism against us, so we stopped doing that. But how did you decide to go to that part of the country? Because a lot of people would figure it does feel so desolate, and, you know.
And it does, you're right. But I had been to Phoenix for a professional conference about 2.5 years ago, and I was struck by the difference. It's like, it's hard to believe it's the same country, let alone almost the same planet. And I just said to Bill, it's so fascinating. the land is different, the culture is different, because the Indian culture is so strong out there, and the Spanish culture. And I said, we really have to check this out in depth. And that's what we did. And we went to the Grand Canyon, and we went to the Petrified Forest and the Painted Desert. So we really did it up. We visited more than one Pueblo, and it's fascinating to see the difference between the Pueblo Indians, who live in these sort of apartment-like dwellings, versus the Navajo, who like to spread out, who have a huge amount of land, bigger than probably all of New England, and they do not understand the penchant for the Pueblo Indians to live on top of each other. So it's really, it's such a different world.
Yeah, I know. Now, the whole, when you're talking about a whole different world there, the United States is like about four different countries all stuck together anyway. New England is not anything like the Midwest, which is flat and where you can see cars coming from miles and miles away. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a beauty in the monotony of it, too, in a way, because you don't ever see that kind of stuff here where it's hilly.
Right.
And then you're talking the Southwest, which is something.
Oh,
and then the south of the United States is just totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Northwest gets to look like New England, Oregon, and the state of Washington.
And Northern California, yeah.
Yeah, so it is like, on this massive land, it's like four countries stuck together to become the United States.
But I was sure struck by the Southwest, I think because it's so primal, like you were talking about the stuckness of it. In the Grand Canyon, you can see sort of the, especially in the pictures that you take, the strata of the rocks and how the river just carved that thing out. And I actually, my impression of the Grand Canyon actually took me aback a little bit. I was obviously bowled over and overwhelmed and awed and all the things that everyone says you'll be, but I was also very frightened by it.
It's interesting, yeah. And just because of the size of it, you almost can't comprehend it. Would
exactly.
that be the reason?
Exactly. It's a mile deep. It's 10 miles across and 200 miles long. And think about that. 200 miles long is longer than the state of Massachusetts. And,
yeah, that's right. It is. Did you and Bill think about taking a mule or something down? Or
Bill did. I'm chicken.
Did he go right down to the Colorado River?
No. We didn't do it. But I was too chicken. But Bill would have done it if I said yes.
Oh, he would have. I see. Okay.
No. I'm too. We did the Outlooks. But even the Outlooks, I felt like I was looking at the end of the earth, at the entrance to Hades, to the entrance to the underworld. It was.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you were talking about taking pictures, and, there's no way you can take a picture of the Grand Canyon to get the full scope of what it is, unless you do it on, like, 35 or 60, whatever, film or something and show it on a huge screen.
Right.
A photograph, you just don't get the concept of what that really is.
Oh, it's amazing, and the weather, even at the canyon while we were there at the very end of May, and it was very variable. First time we saw the canyon was in pouring rain in a mist, and it was freezing. It was cold. It was almost cold enough to snow. By the time we left the canyon 3 hours later, I'm talking about the rim of the canyon now, so we were up a high elevation. It was getting up into the 70s, and it was bright and sunny.
Mm. Did you stay in a cabin overnight at the Grand Canyon?
No, we didn't. We used Sedona, which is about 150 miles from the Grand Canyon, as our jumping-off point. We did it in a day trip. And Sedona, I don't know if you were in Sedona, but that's fascinating, too. It has these red sandstone formations, these rock formations. It's like nothing I've ever seen. They're this incredible red color, and they just jut up out of the countryside. It's just absolutely amazing. A lot of the New Age people claim that that's where cosmic vortexes come together to heal people. It's really, really incredible.
Wow. And how long were you there?
We were there for 12 days, and we put 1,500 miles on a rental car.
that's great. You're a couple of great adventurers. You don't go to the usual spots.
No, and the Petrified Forest was another thing that blew us away. Seeing these fallen tree trunks with all these colors in them and looking like wood, but you touch them and they're stone.
It's
just amazing.
Did that give you ideas on where you'd like to go next time?
Oh, we'll probably do something totally different and end up going, somewhere in Europe or something. We'll go anywhere that sounds like fun.
Yeah, have you been to places like Wyoming and Montana?
No, and we'd love to.
Oh, especially western Montana and the Rocky Mountains is an incredible place. And at Ferguson Band next weekend. And on stage at that lovely old movie theater and where they have a lot of stage things. And then later on, I still have forgotten the date. I emcee something, the Harry Jones Memorial Concert, which they hold each year to raise funds for sending for college, for scholarships and stuff for musicians and kids. And a great concert last year, and we'll be doing the same thing again later on. I forget whether it's August or September, maybe August. I've forgotten. I'll let you know when we get closer to the time. But Joe Williams... Great Joe Williams will be there. So there's a lot.
Because I'd love to come out.
Oh, I appreciate that. I do a couple of things. One is the old radio talk, which is, you know, with excerpts from old radio tapes. I don't have the schedule in front of me, and a lot of those are private things.
Right.
So I don't mention them because of that. Right. But then there are some other things that I will let you know where say, I emcee a jazz group, which is playing for a charitable organization. I have two or three of those coming up.
My ears open for that.
Yeah, I will mention that. I don't bring the schedule into the station. I should do that. I will do that just before it comes up. One is sometime toward the end of July, and another one is at the end of the summer, I think. The one I'm looking forward to is one I did last year. This has nothing to do with old time radio, but there's a Harry Jones Memorial Concert each year to raise funds for kids, for educational purposes, and that kind of stuff. And they hold that at the Portsmouth, New Hampshire Music Hall, which is a beautiful spot just to come to, just to see the hall. You know,
I've never gotten a chance to be in.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. Yeah, Joe Williams is going to be singing that night. And then they have a band called the Seacoast Big Band. There's another
I've heard
one.
A lot about them, yeah.
They're excellent. I heard them last year for the first time, and I couldn't believe how good they were. And that kind of stuff. I'll mention that as we get a little closer to some of the dates.
Well, Joe strikes real close to my heart because he's got that blues feel. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he really has. And he's not a kid. That guy's well up in his 70s now, and he's still going. And
but you know what? He's still got that voice. You know, so many people burn out, but because of his style and everything, he's hung in there.
Yeah, he does. He's just a pleasure to listen to. I'll come up with some other things. Maybe I'd love you to come and check out the old-time radio thing. We talk about them and, you know, again, play excerpts and ask questions of the audience and see if they can see how much they remember that period.
I was a great fan of that. I know WCRB years ago used to do rebroadcasts of, like, The Shadow, you know.
Okay.
The Shadow
and his constant companion, the lovely Margot Lane. Yeah, and you wonder, what do they mean by his constant companion? Exactly what happened? And did he make himself invisible in front of her, too, and then fool around a lot?
That's right.
Anyway, that's the kind of silly kind of presentation that I do. But I'll let you know. I'll mention it on the air when it's a public one. We did one in Wakefield, which was public. We did about four shows one Saturday night.
Right.
Before it came in to do this program. And we're doing... The only other one that comes to mind, and that's not till first night in Beverly, which is New Year's Eve. We did that last New Year's Eve. Those kind of things are public things. But I'll mention whatever other ones I got. But you're nice to ask. I appreciate that. Bones.
Oh, no problem. The only other thing is, how do I get to do the traffic? I think I've got the voice for it.
You've got a great voice,
I want to do traffic.
Well,
at least voiceovers. I'll do traffic.
Traffic. Well, let me say it. I can refer you to the guys who run that traffic service. If you're really serious, send me a note. I'll pass it along to them. I'm not sure what the address is offhand or how you get in touch with them, but we can certainly find out. And right now, Ben Parker is saying, our traffic guy is saying, don't tell him. For God's sakes, we got enough doing it now.
Well, I'll give Jack a call. All right, I'll call Ben first to get his permission, then I'll call Jack.
Okay, Jack. Take care of yourself, Bones.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Nice
Take
to talk to you. You too. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Joan in Tewksbury. Hey, Joan in Tewksbury.
Hi, Norm.
Hello.
I enjoyed your show tonight.
Well, thank you. It was kind of a...
For what I was awake for.
Well, I wasn't awake for too much of it myself, but maybe if you were awake, you would have noticed that.
Last Thursday morning, I had... the Lawrence station on, what do you say that is?
Oh, WCCM, you mean, up in Lawrence?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the local AM station.
Yeah, they did a mini version of the birthday game.
Did they do that?
Yes.
And not even get my permission? What is wrong with them? Okay, I know they do. They do some old time radio, don't they, on Sunday mornings?
On Sunday morning, 9 to 12.
Yes. And they did. Was it within the old time radio thing that they did the dumb birthday game sort of takeoff or whatever?
No, this was. I think 9 o'clock in the morning, something like that.
During the week?
Yeah, and shortly after 9 o'clock, I guess it was. And they asked. I really wasn't paying attention at first, but then when I realized what was going on, I kind of paid attention. They asked. Somebody called in, I guess, and Sid Whitaker was in the studio and. I don't know whether another fellow maybe, and then the one asking the birthdays, and they asked two birthdays, and then the fellow called in. I guess he kind of won, and they were going to put his name in something, but I didn't catch what they were going
to do. This is the weirdest. But this is the weirdest report I've heard from anybody. They put in something with something, but I don't remember, and it was another guy there, and I'd forget.
Well, I think. It's kind of...
You're ready to do Channel 7 News, I tell you, with that kind of a report.
Yeah, let's see.
Now, there's some good people up there.
I'll try to listen Monday morning.
Okay, they do some fun stuff up there, I know that. So that's really nice. That's, you know...
Anyway,
what the heck.
Yeah.
I hope today, Joan, turns out to be one of the greatest days of your life.
I'm not going to do anything today.
You're not going to do it. You just kind of sit there and stare out into space.
That's right. I think it's going to rain, and I hope this is one of the spots that pours in.
You'd like a nice rainy day is kind of fun.
That's right.
Every now and then, and you have excuses for not doing anything, which is apparently what you're looking for.
Right.
Okay.
The monitor station, what's that?
Well, WBUR, the FM station, carries a lot of that, and BBC, and a lot of news and that stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
I'll
talk to you another time.
You're going to keep tuned to us, even though you listen to these other places, too, aren't you?
Tune us in every now and then. Well, I always listen to you, you know, but when you're not around, I have to listen someplace else.
Well, because we have a lot of stuff you can listen to here, but I whatever you would like, Joan, as long as you give us even a few minutes of your time from time to time is okay with me, big fella. Take care, Joan.
Yeah, talk to you later.
Bye-bye now. Okay, let's see. Overnight... partly to mostly cloudy areas of fog and drizzle. I'm near a window and I can't. Hold on a minute. Let me look. Stevens. I know. I can't tell whether it's raining out there or not. And then again, if you're driving through it, you know whether it's raining better than I do. During the day, mostly cloudy with a shower in spots. The high's about 78. And at night, mostly cloudy, low 64. Monday, variably cloudy with a shower or thunder shower. High 76. Tuesday, partly to mostly sunny with a cool breeze, highs from 68 near the coast to 76 degrees inland. Be back tonight, and I hope you'll join us. We'll get some guests and all kinds of stuff. We'll be with you right through the night and right through the week, as a matter of fact. Let's see. I got to tell you, hold on. I'm flapping papers in your ear again, and I know it must be driving you just absolutely exotically crazy. Let's see. Wait a minute. Hold on. Tony Nesbitt, who books a lot of the people we talk with, has really taken care of the bookings for the next 700 years, and they're all on this sheet. Oh, Dick Syatt, the singles scene guru, will discuss his insights into how you can meet that special someone, and, of course, other general silliness and that kind of stuff that we'll be talking about. That's tonight at 11. If you can join us then, it's okay. We'd love to have you. On behalf of our producer, Hope Shower, I'll stumble over my own name, too, to make it even. On behalf of the lovely Marilyn Gorelica, my own name, Nam Johan, we'll see you tonight at 11. Hope you have a great day. Bye-bye, old sport. You're tuned to WBZ Boston. It's 420.
And help support Golden Age Radio. A special thanks for joining us on our Golden Age Radio program today. We hope that you enjoyed our show and will join us each Sunday morning from 9 to noon right here on WCCM Radio 800. Did you know that Golden Age Radio Club members receive a complete sampler and mystery shows, plus become eligible to borrow from our extensive radio and TV library? All this for a small donation to Golden Age Radio, Box 1585, Haverhill, Mass. 01831. That's Box 1585, Haverhill, Mass. 01831. And if you have records, video, just about anything that can be used for our show in Lender's Library, please call us at 508-346-99. This is your host, Bob Garrity. Please invite your friends to join us for another exciting show of comedy, westerns, music, mystery theater, and our Entertainer of the Week. Have a pleasant day, and please enjoy the rest, right up until noontime today, of the great music of Mr. Bing Crosby.
My stage.
Yeah. I require so little in life at this stage. Maybe, I don't know, regular habits, you know,
yeah,
the kind I mean.
Yeah.
And maybe a bowl of stewed prunes every now and then, clean sheets, and I'm happy about everything. But this was, do you still do these singles?
No, the dating show? No, I'm not. Show. I'm looking, though. If you hear of any openings, if you'd let me know. Yeah, I'm looking for another radio station.
Okay, so I remember the show was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
People would call up and, yeah, you know, they'd describe themselves on the kind of person they were looking
for. What are you looking for in someone?
Yeah, I'd like somebody whose last initials are S, who rides in a red pickup truck with a gun rack in the back, who likes to pick up seashells.
Walk along the beach.
Walk along the beach, yeah, and eat marshmallows underwater. Those are my ideals.
It looks like Claudia Schiffer.
That's right. Anyway, we're going to talk with Dick. It seems to me that one of the problems is people, a lot of men are looking for women. A lot of men and women are looking
men
for men.
Yes, men usually are, most of the time.
No, but and women for men, too.
Yes.
And people are agreeable to meeting other people, and there probably is somebody out there that you would just love, but where do you meet them? That seems to be a problem. People say, don't go into bars. You go into bars, that's not good bars. All that kind of stuff. So how do you do that? And I consider you the singles mavens, Dick Sweeney.
Yeah.
Plus, we're going to ask some questions, too. We people who call. Our phone number is 617-254-1030. And maybe, well, we'll talk about it in just a minute. You don't mind if I knock off a few commercials at
the
same time?
That's why I listen to your show. I love the commercials.
The commercials are really nice. Every now and then, in between, we get
to tune out the callers that I listen for the Ovaltine commercial.
I know. Every now and then, we have to say something.
I hope you're going to play the Ovaltine. Is this Ovaltine?
That's the Ovaltine.
Or is this the powder for...
I don't know what this
for
is.
Itching.
Let's see what this is. We'll see what. I've been aware of a lot of people who've met at these places and have married and all that kind of stuff.
I get wedding invitations all the time. Of course, the funniest wedding invitation I ever got. So, yes, we've had about 1,000 marriages. But the funniest wedding invitation I ever got was someone invited me to the wedding but included a handwritten note that asked me not to tell anyone at the wedding how they met because they'd be embarrassed that they met at a singles dance.
Parents, especially somebody really like. And as he was leaving, his car was parked in the driveway. And they were looking out the window, waving at him. And the nervousness apparently overcame him. And he threw up right there in the driveway. And they were all looking out at him through the window. And,
what a nice boy.
I don't remember the outcome of that, whether or not he had the nerve enough to call her again. If I were that guy, I probably would have... I'd denounced my American citizenship and gone off to Mexico or Canada or someplace.
Vincent's Nightclub.
Lombardo's,
The Friday nights at the Village Green in Danvers. Saturday nights at the Dedham Hilton in Dedham, Mass. And Sundays, I'm at the Sheraton Tara in Nashua, New Hampshire, but moving in 2 weeks to the Andover Marriott. And that's my schedule.
Okay.
All right, I'm available for house parties. On the other nights, I can come over to your house and just tell you funny stories. And I bring a little radio with me, and we can dance together.
And I think Ocean Superhighway is littered with singles, looking to find that significant other, just waiting.
You say that so poetically.
Thank you very much.
I'll have to put that in my ads. If you're littered with singles, we're littered with singles. Come to my parties. We're littered with singles.
Okay, here now for your late night listening, dancing, and dining pleasure, the lottery numbers. I worked at the WHDH for over 20 years, so these two are the major ones. But I've worked at. WEI, which is now WHD. I get the stations mixed up.
Well, they're very confusing now.
They really are confusing.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to call up and say hello.
You sound like you're interested in broadcasting yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm actually a broadcaster here in Boston as well.
So. Where?
Here in Boston.
Yeah, but I mean, what station are you at?
No, I don't want to tell you the station.
You can. Would you rather not?
Can I?
Are you ashamed of it?
Well, you know what I think? I think people would be like, wow, they're listening to BZ, you know?
Oh, yeah. But then again, they will. You know what they will say? They'll say...
What will they say?
They'll say WBZ is such a fantastic bunch of people run that station that they don't mind people coming on and telling, giving
and
other station
other
breaks.
Stations. Well, you know, actually, you've been on our station before, WFNX.
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah. with Ari in the morning and stuff.
Yeah, well, with Ty.
I'm sorry, why did I say Ari? That's stupid.
Well, you know, you could call
him Ari.
No,
it's Ty.
Very
I know
few
it's
people
Ty.
Actually like to listen to him anyway.
When are you on FNX?
The afternoon.
Yeah, no, I was on with Ty.
Yeah, you were on
he was fun. And I was mentioning the fact that at one time when I was doing a jazz show, other stations were not. And so in a way, and our audience was basically college-age kids, same as yours.
Yep.
And so we were kind of, my program was kind of an alternative radio in a sense like yours is. So I can identify with you guys.
I know, and now it seems like other places are trying to do it as well. So format's definitely catching on.
Have you been there long?
Oh, yeah, long time. I've been there since 86, which, you know, isn't long in your career.
No, but it is long. It is long.
Well,
the way broadcasters go today, and with young, say somebody starting out in broadcasting, I think if they last 10, 15 years, I think that's something. Because conditions are quite different than they were when I began. And so I wish you good luck. I hope you...
Well, thanks. Well, at some point, you know, when you have another big anniversary... Give us a call, and we'll get you on the
air. Okay, I'm going to call Ty anyway. I got a nice note from him, and I haven't responded to it yet, but I will.
Make sure you tell him you spoke to me, because it'll infuriate him, which is always what we enjoy. We have a little rivalry going on between afternoons and mornings.
Is it real? You really hate each other's guts.
Oh, we hate each other. Oh, it's awful.
Really
awful?
Just
awful.
People have to pull you off each other before you attack and throw punches at the noses and
the
stuff?
The air staff meetings are, you know, just incredible. Oh, it's like a Van Damme movie, you know?
Oh, it's kind of wonderful, because here at WBZ, there isn't that hatred. It's just apathy and people ignoring each other, which I think is a lot worse.
Oh, too much.
Hey, you're okay, Neil. I wish you the very best
Thank
of
you.
Luck.
Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. Take care. Bye-bye. That's the Boston Phoenix radio station. I hate to mention the Boston Phoenix, because Steve Mindich, who runs the paper, is not one of my favorite people. Anyway, let me see who we got. Well, not long enough. Actually, the day before I graduated high school, I'm stretching it a little bit. And yeah, no, it's been 50. It was 51 years, May 24th of this year.
Wow!
Isn't that incredible?
Oh, well, congratulations to you, really.
Well, I don't know. I maybe commiseration is more rich, you know.
Well, my sympathies then.
My sitting in front of a microphone for 51 years, it sounds like a curse. You were bad. Well, you got 5 more years and then you're dead, Mac. But that's the way you're going to end your life, sitting behind a microphone saying asinine things.
Yeah, well...
Are you in broadcasting, too?
No.
Probably ask you... Well, I won't even say people probably ask you. I will ask you. The attraction here. Why would you get involved in this area?
You know, and you're absolutely right.
And don't say it's because I like people. Don't give me
that. No. I mean, I would... Hey, you know, I'm young. Don't snow me, buddy.
That's right. Yeah. You're more up on what's going on today, and I'm more up on what was going back in 1850.
Yeah, no. But you're absolutely right that's the question that people ask me most often, and it's the first one. And the only answer I have for it is just that I wanted to do it for a long time anyway, since I was 11 years old. I remember.
Isn't that funny? Because 11-year-old kids, you think that was the last thing in the world they'd want to even think about.
Well.
You're weird, I bet you.
Yeah, perhaps. Actually, but it's an interesting story, because when I was 11, my grandmother died, and it was the first time that I was involved at all in the funeral process.
Hmm.
And, you know, the first time in a funeral home and all that. And it's something about it, and I can't put my finger on it, something about it just struck me as this is what I want to do. But I kind of put it in the back of my mind, and that was it, because I had always heard that it was a very difficult thing to get into, and you have to know someone in the business and those sort of things. And so I kind of discarded it as just a dream, but one that wasn't going to be fulfilled until I graduated from college a few years ago and found myself in this economic times that we're in. I found myself without a job. And I thought, well, I'd give it a try, and I knocked on the door of one of the funeral homes, you know, locally, and took off from there. So,
well, you...
it's weird, but it really worked out well.
Well, when I say it's weird,
when I say it's weird,
I'm just fooling around a little bit. But actually,
you bring
great comfort to a lot of people with the kind of work that you do. I don't mean to get slobbering about this, but
sure,
I think you know that that's so.
And that's some of the attraction too. Now that I've kind of gotten involved with it, I see, you know, some of the other things that are the other benefits of being in the business, which is, you know, I mean, that's one of them. I mean, you know, helping people through a difficult time, but yeah, whatever. So, but hey, there's also still that some kind of a fascination. So, interestingly enough, a lot of people, I tell them what I do, and they have tons of questions, and the questions just pour out of them. And the reason is because I think a lot of people are interested in what goes on in a funeral home and in this business, but they just don't have someone to ask those questions to.
There's no question about that. And we were welcoming them, the funeral home, back into business. The idea was to make money for the newspaper, really. So the top half of the two-page spread mentioned the name of the funeral home, back in business, and here's the number and all that kind of stuff. And underneath were a group of ads. This is where we made the money. A group of ads by people who dealt with that funeral home. Now, I was maybe 24, 5 or at this time. How old are you? Are you in that area?
Exactly 25 now.
Okay, so I was about the same age as you.
Good enough.
So we went around to the people who dealt with the funeral home and talked with them to get the ads. And I learned about things then that I guess maybe at the time were kind of a little scary to me.
Yeah.
Including, you know, what's new in caskets and coffins and all that kind of stuff. I see this is, you can be very casual about this because you're used to it, but people who are not find that kind of weird, you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's not, I'm just mumbling.
Moderato.
Yes, now I don't...
What happened? He was good.
Yes, he was.
You know anything about where he is?
No, I really don't. Now, Steve Moderato... Now he wasn't. He was at RKO, I think, wasn't he? Or was he here?
He was HDH and BZ.
Oh, HD, and he was at BZ, and here I am stammering about that.
He was daytime too.
Yes, I remember him. No, I have no idea.
He used to be great in the daytime. He was excellent. I got somewhat of a tiny funny story about the funeral business. If you don't mind, it's just a
no. Go right ahead. As a matter of fact, the next call we take is from somebody who's listed as under undertakers.
Okay.
So we're sort of in that groove.
Well, this is funny. I was about to hire someone for a general labor position at a place I was working in a few years ago, and I'm reading the application, and there were two things that were actually funny about this fellow's application. And if I remember correctly, it even had a little speck of blood on the application for some reason. the most recent job he left was, he was a meat cutter, professional meat cutter at a butcher shop. And in the column it says reason for leaving, he wrote down too many accidents, okay?
Oh.
And the job prior to that, he said he worked at a funeral home, so-and-so funeral home around the Framingham area. And I didn't want to look anymore because it's kind of scary thinking about what these people do. So I got myself together and looked again, and what was his title? Dresser. And I'm saying, oh, no, that doesn't mean he's dressing the bodies, does it? So I finally interviewed him and asked him, and he says, no, it's a crazy expression. What it means in his business is he prepares the service site for the service upcoming, you know, arranges the flowers and sets up the casket and everything. But it was just kind of scary when I saw that word.
Jerry's last name. A man named Tom Heathwood, not just a man named Tom Heathwood, he runs he has a great studio, and he does a lot of old-time broadcasts. He's got tapes of about every old-time radio show that ever was. He called, he knew the name, but I'll wait till you tell us, Peg, because you worked here. When did you work here at BZ?
Are you talking to me now, Norman?
Yes, we're on the air right this moment, Peg.
Yeah, okay. I worked here in 52, 53, and 54.
Now, was it Jared's guy? Did they have an evening program? Or
yes.
Did they work? Because he worked the overnight show for a while also way back.
Yes, I used to work from like 4 to 11. on the switchboard.
Oh, they had switchboard operators right till 11. Those were the good old days.
That's right. And it was Jerry and Sky.
And Jerry's last name?
Jerry Howard.
Yeah, that name just slipped out of my head and was driving me crazy.
Yeah, and he used to be, Slim Pickens used to be there, too.
Well, of course, Slim Pickens was Jerry Howard, as I recall. He was also did a woman's voice.
Yeah.
Now, what was that? That was with the New England accent, too. I forgot what he called her. But Jerry did two voices.
I don't remember. It's a long time ago since I worked there.
I know it. But he did Slim Pickens, and he also did a woman's voice with that same accent. He also did the weather at WESX in Salem and WJDA in Quincy, both owned by the Asher family. And he's been on the show with me, and I love the way he does that accent.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Jerry Howard. I'm pretty sure that was his last name.
No, but it definitely was Jerry Howard. Yeah. I just slipped my mind. He also lives up north, I think it was in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. I think right now, which is where the accent certainly should come in handy.
Yeah, because they used to come out and sit in the lobby there when I was on the board.
Yeah.
And chat, and I said, I went there until 11 o'clock. And I just lived around the corner from WBZ. Now I'm way down here in the South Shore.
Way down here in Braintree. Braintree isn't that far down,
right.
Peggy. Now, you're retired now, I assume, are you?
Oh, I'm sure, yes.
Oh, yes. You're sure you're retired. Okay.
Yeah. Hey. I listen to you every weekend, though.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Peggy.
Was
the BC studios were here? Were they on Soldiers Field Road when you were here?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen the new additions? They're building, enlarging the building, and doing all kinds of weird stuff here.
No, but I've been planning on going up there someday just to walk around and just see what the building looks like. Because I don't think there's anybody there now that I work with. You know, there was Arch McDonald and Leo Egan, and Arthur Amadon. You know,
oh, those are lovely names you're mentioning.
Yeah, how is Carl D'Souza? I heard that he was sick.
Yes, he was sick. From what I gather, he's doing okay, though.
Fine.
He's doing okay.
Oh, yeah. He used to liven the day up when he used to walk in.
Well, say that again?
I said he used to liven up the day when he used to walk in.
Oh, he's a class guy. Did he wear an ascot even then?
Yes, and a cap.
Oh, and a cap. He always surprised me when I learned that he came from, was it New Jersey or New York or someplace? Because he looked like he was born in London.
Yes.
You know, or at least in the Back Bay of Boston. But he came from an area. Because he was very cosmopolitan, international kind of looking guy.
He was very nice.
He is. He still is very nice. It's been a while. I've got to talk with him again soon.
Phew! That was quite the compendium of Uncle Norm, as well as Jack Hart and his traffic extravaganza. Did you notice all of those young listeners that called in? Norm really related to all ages. And what's the deal with WCCM? Stealing the dumb birthday, Gabe, and dropping the dumb? Was this Sid Whitaker's doing? We may never know. Has the statute of limitations expired on this thievery? C'est la vie. Oh, and did you hear Norm mention the swell music quiz? Well, that's next week's episode, so do tune in. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For WCCM, WOMR, WFNX, The Boathouse in Hyannis, Mass., The Brandy Barrel in Lynn, Natalie's Restaurant in Danvers, Sid Whitaker, Bruce Arnold, Eric, Bishop's Restaurant in Lawrence, The Pasta Shack, Jackie Murphy, Mike Leone, Norm's Grandfather's Advice on Idiots, Weather Countdowns, Canadian Rubber Chicken, the Southeast Expressway, the Zipper Lane, the Boston Gas Tanks, Hernia Insurance, Liftovision, Legs That Go All the Way Up to the Sheet Counter, Bally Total Fitness, AAA, Tube Radios, Foster Brooks, Work Crews, Wine, Cheese, and Crackers as a Solution for the Fear of Balconies, Stewed Prunes, Clean Sheets, The Shadow, Cato, and Margot Lane, Flapping Papers in Your Ears, Sod Houses, Hate, Apathy, and Ignorance, Joan from Tewksbury, Dick Syatt, Parties Littered with Singles, Funeral Dressers, The Asher Family, Mike Epstein, Hope Shower, Ed St. Clair, Paul Drake, Jack Hart, and the man with 52 plus years in Boston radio, Nam Jonam. Broadcasting from my plush but not overly ostentatious studio, I'm Tony Nesbitt.